name is Linda Schack, and I'm from Prevention Institute, which is a national nonprofit center located in Oakland. And we were established to improve community health and well-being by really building a movement for more effective primary prevention strategies on a range of public health issues. And today I'm going to be talking about our environmental nutrition and activity local policy database, which we developed to help public health professionals, policymakers, health advocates, and others really get a sense of what is going on across the country in terms of local level policy to address healthy eating and physical activity. So before I get started, I just want to get a show of hands. How many people here have worked to promote a policy at the local level to address healthy eating and activity? And when I say worked on, that can be anything from calling your local elected official to single-handedly getting a policy passed in your community or in your school district. All right, good. So we got a show of hands. We got a big group, but by the end, I'm hoping that all of you are going to be racing out here to go look at this database and really think about what might make sense for your own community. Before we get started, I do want to talk a little bit about the nutrition and physical activity environments in which we live. In these images here, we really see depicted some images that address some of the issues that really make it difficult for us to walk in our communities, or for some of the people that we work with in some of the communities that we're in to be physically active. We see a picture of a community that really is a blighted community. There's lots of garbage around, and who wants to be out walking in a neighborhood that feels unsafe or not aesthetically pleasing? It's not as nice as if there were lush parks around. And there we see a picture of a man trying to ride his bicycle when clearly the street he's riding down is not designed for him. It's designed for the cars. Similarly, the food environments really stress an overabundance of highly processed foods in our supermarkets and fast food in our communities. The picture in the bottom left-hand corner is actually from the community in which I work in Oakland, California. One of my coworkers went out around the three-block or four-block radius around where we work and collected fast food and junk food just, you know, available within that three- or four-block radius. So if this is what communities look like, then it is unreasonable to expect that people will change their behavior easily when there are so many forces in the social, cultural, and physical environment that conspire against such change. And I think it's important that we note that not all communities are created equally. When we think about health disparities, we often think about disparities. I can keep talking, and people can really see my slides well now. But we often think about, when we think about health disparities, we think about disparities in medical services. Are we set? So when we think about disparities, we often think about the disparities in access to medical services. But it's important to note the community disparities that take place in some communities and not others. For instance, let's talk for a second about what is sold and how it's promoted. There's clearly a difference between what's sold and how it's promoted. And most, and as we can note here in this study conducted in 2002 by Moreland and her colleagues, we see that in the high wealth neighborhoods, those neighborhoods are three times more likely to have a supermarket in their neighborhoods. And then conversely, those same high wealth neighborhoods are three times less likely to have alcohol retail establishments in their communities. And so what's sold and how it's promoted is actually one of 13 factors that Prevention Institute has identified as part of our tool for health and resilience in vulnerable environments, or our Thrive tool. You can see the other 13 factors here, but we really see this as an important tool for communities working at the local level to think about the presence or absence of these factors and how they might go about addressing them. And when we talk about nutrition and activity in particular, the place, what's sold and how it's promoted, look, feel, and safety, parks and open space, getting around, housing, air, water, and soil, and arts and culture are all critical components of ensuring that people are able to eat healthy and be active in their communities. Which brings us to the question of policy. And one key fact I want to share is that useful policy is often developed locally, because often when people think about policy, they say, oh, that's something that happens far away in that place called Washington, D.C. It's what happens in our state capital, but not at the local level. And local policy is really critical, first of all, because the policy can be tailored towards the needs of a given community. Another reason local policy is important is we can actually look to other public health examples like tobacco control and motorcycle helmet laws. And in those instances, it was really one place that really started the movement. And other cities or counties or locales soon followed suit, and those policies bubbled up until there was a real movement and momentum for greater scale policy on those specific public health topics. So that's why we developed the Environmental Nutrition and Activity Local Policy Database. I should note that in tobacco control, for instance, advocates developed similar databases to house policies so that advocates could really learn from one another about what was going on around the country. So we really sort of stole their idea and thought that it would be really important to help build that similar movement in nutrition and activity. I feel like I can't keep talking about the local policy database without talking a little bit about our original ENACT tool, which is also available online at our website. We developed this as part of our work as one of the steering committee organizations and the staff for California's statewide coalition, the Strategic Alliance for Healthy Food and Activity Environments. And people from our coalition would come to us and say, what is the one thing that we should be doing to improve healthy eating and physical activity? And we would tell them, well, there's a range of things you can be doing. And people did not like that answer because we all want to be told exactly what we should do, right? So ENACT is an online tool that offers a specific menu of achievable strategies. We identify these strategies by relying on evidence-based where it exists, by talking to experts across the country about what really works in communities, and then also relying on community wisdom, what residents have really known for years works to improve health outcomes. And each strategy is complemented by a range of resources to help people getting started. So let's take a look at the first ENACT tool real quickly. As you can see, we identified 7 key environments, and in each environment we have the specific strategies around food and activity. So this is the neighborhood page, and you'll see there's a column on the left and a column on the right, and people can sign up, groups can sign up for user accounts to have different people within their coalition or their organization or their community rank the priorities of strategies and where the community currently is in terms of implementing that. And ENACT will compile your results to give you a starting point to have a discussion about, well, where do we proceed? What do we prioritize? So if we click on one of the strategies, we have Complete the Streets, and you'll see this is sort of the top of the page that describes the strategy. And as you scroll down, it also includes model programs and success stories, tools, organizations and coalitions working on this issue, and evidence base. So right now we're working to link this tool to our ENACT local policy database, and here's the home page. As you'll see on the left-hand side, there's a search bar, and you can do a general search or a more guided search, and it'll come up with a list of results for you. If I were to click on the Sustainable City Plan, it takes me to a page that gives me some basic information about the policy and a brief description. And as I scroll down, we also include a contact person who was involved in the passage or implementation of the policy, so you could call or email that person to ask how they did it. We also include the actual policy language as well as the health implications, because for many of the policies, the health implications are pretty clear, but we've also tried to think really broadly about policies that impact nutrition and activity. So we've included policies around air quality or sustainable food or comprehensive city plans that address a range of issues that really can help to promote eating and activity, even if that's not how they were intended. So I'm going to go do a couple examples. This first one is actually really interesting around zoning to help and make sure that healthy food retail is included in neighborhoods. This particular policy from Chicago, Illinois, was adopted because an industry practice that supermarkets constantly use is something called land use covenants when they come to an area. And what that means is there's a covenant on the land so that even if the supermarket was to leave the community, another similar establishment cannot settle in that area. And that's actually what happened in one community in Chicago, leaving it to be virtually a food desert. And so the one of the aldermen in the city passed an ordinance so that that could not happen in other communities, leaving residents without supermarkets or other retail establishments. Increasing access to parks and sidewalks. This example from Olympia, Washington is really interesting, and we actually have we created a larger profile documenting what they did, because the park advocates really wanted money for parks. The sidewalk advocates wanted money to increase sidewalks and maintain the sidewalks. And in terms of passing a bond measure for a utility tax, neither one of them were able to get enough support from voters to get that policy passed. But really, by coming together, they were able to get the voters to approve a 3% utility tax, and are now doing a lot of really great work to expand and maintain parks and sidewalks in the city. Including health in the general plan, this is actually a really interesting one. We have a couple examples. In Chula Vista, California, they just recently revisited their general plan and have an entire section that really articulates the need to think about health when planning for the city and the role of the built environment plays in promoting health among residents. And so that's something now for residents and advocates to go back to really say, this is on our books. You said that health is important, and let's see that happen when making policy decisions for our city. And then similarly, in Madison, Wisconsin, in their plan, they really made sure to promote urban agriculture and specify that land should be used for agriculture purposes within city limits. In closing, I just wanted to say that this is just a summary of a few of the 100-plus policies that we currently have on the database. So we invite you to visit the database for examples, but also to share with us your policy successes so that we can include them in the database. Because as Robert F. Kennedy said, few will have the greatness to bend history itself. But each of us can work to change a small portion of events, and in the total of all those acts will be written the history of this generation. And what all of us in this room are really trying to do is build a movement to create healthier environments in our own communities and across our country. And so I invite you in joining me in that cause. So please feel free to visit our website for tools, and you can also visit the APHA Exhibition Hall for our new textbook, Prevention is Primary.